When Tower Records went up for sale last month, music industry analysts started writing obituaries for all record stores. Music retailers have seen increasing competition in recent years from e-commerce, unauthorized file sharing, and mass merchants like Walmart. Joel Rose of member station WHYY has the first of two reports on the future of music retailing.
Mike Negra used to own a chain of five record stores in college towns, from central Pennsylvania to western Virginia. Today, Negra is down to one. Mike's Music in State College, Pennsylvania.
There's some J-Lo stuff back here, but I don't want that up.
He blames the loss of business on unauthorized file sharing and CD copying or burning on the college campuses that produced most of his customers.
You talk to your customers and you find out what they're doing, and then you'd hear them, well, just go home, I'll burn it for you. Or, hey, I already got that, you know, off the internet, you know, why are you buying that? We'd hear that sort of conversation over the counter all the time.
The talk is more upbeat at AKA Music in Philadelphia. It's an independent store that specializes in indie rock, jazz, and other hard-to-find kinds of music. Owner Mike Hoffman says his sales have grown continuously since he opened in 1998, just a year before Napster went online. Hoffman doesn't think peer-to-peer file sharing is hurting his business.
I really don't see it affecting sales. I mean, possibly on some of the real hit-driven product, but we don't sell a lot of that to begin with. A lot of our customers are, I would consider, pretty serious music buyers. So they want the real thing. They don't want just a burned version of it.
For the major chain record stores that do sell a lot of hits, the picture may be a bit darker. According to Nielsen SoundScan, the company that tracks barcode sales of recordings, sales dropped a little less than 5% over the last 2 years at music-only stores like Tower Records and HMV.
I just can't see how any of them are going to survive. Those are really big, expensive stores with lots of inventory and lots of staff.
Joke Federa managed a Tower Records store in Chicago before leaving the company in 2001. Federa thinks certain music consumers are turning to retailers like Walmart, Target, and Best Buy, which tend to charge less per CD than traditional record stores. They can do that because CD sales are only a part of their business, and because they make money off records in another way. They sell shelf space, just like supermarkets. Supermarket chains don't make much profit on groceries, so they charge slotting fees to manufacturers who are willing to pay the supermarket to get their products into prime shelf space, for instance, at the ends of aisles. Joke Federa says music retailers and mass merchants who sell CDs do much the same thing.
A lot of the music chains made more money positioning music than they ever made selling music. And that's how you can be a successful, you know, electronics retailer and have a profitable music department, selling your CDs for less than you paid for them, because you're getting paid to put it in your top 20, you're getting paid to put it in your listening stations, or in the front of the store or at the register.
Product placement fees are important to record stores because they're essentially pure profit. Stores don't have to buy CDs from record labels or distributors and then wait for them to sell. But Barry Sosnick, an analyst with Adams Media Research, says the big chain stores still need to sell records to stay afloat, and the records that make the most money are catalog items, old records, classics, and reissues. The problem is, e-commerce sites and merchants like Best Buy are selling those titles too.
AC/DC, Back in Black, you know, old Billy Joel titles, anything along those lines. So every time one of those titles sells through Amazon, just because it's easy to find it with a search engine, that is money and high profit money that is disappearing out of Tower's coffers.
Sosnick says singles were another relatively high-margin item for retailers until the major record companies stopped making them a few years ago. Nationwide, Sosnick expects about 1,000 record stores to close this year, and he's not looking for a turnaround anytime soon.
If we're dealing solely with Tower and the larger music stores, they are the ones that are closest to extinction. When it comes to mall stores, those stores actually have a little bit more longevity, but again, they're not looking very healthy.
Tower Records declined to comment for this story, but Jim Donio, executive vice president of the National Association of Recording Merchandisers, says the problems facing major chain stores may not affect every player in the industry.
This is not a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing. Music is very personal. So, yeah, people are going to want to buy from Amazon. People are going to go into stores. People are going to want to buy their music at Starbucks. There are so many different outlets that are customized to how you want to consume, purchase, own, collect your music. And I think that's a good thing for the music business.
AKA Music in Philadelphia is an example of the personalized approach to sales. In addition to an owner that customers seem to know by name, There's a display next to the cash register where the staff has meticulously stacked about 24 favorite new titles. Joey Sweeney is a music journalist in Philadelphia and a former staffer at AKA. He still pulls an occasional shift when someone calls in sick.
I think stores like AKA will survive primarily because there's sort of this emphasis on new music, obscure music. You know, if you don't know what something is, you can't pirate it.
Sweeney says the store is like Championship Vinyl, the archetypal record store in the Nick Hornby novel High Fidelity, only the employees are less snobby.
They have really sort of identified themselves, not in an obnoxious way as sort of like purveyors of taste, but almost as like consumer advocates. Like, hey, you really need to hear this. Whether it's moving or funny or just like insanely rockin' or whatever, which is a great thing.
But even a diehard music lover like Sweeney, with a collection of close to 2,000 LPs at last count, is doing less of his music shopping in record stores these days. Sweeney got an Apple PowerBook in January and discovered Apple's new iTunes online music store, which charges 99 cents a download.
This iTunes thing is amazing. There is a ton of music that they don't have, but if what they've started out with is anything to go by, this is going to be a pretty incredible thing.
Sweeney says he's so impressed, he's planning to sell his LP collection this summer. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose in Philadelphia.
Tomorrow, NPR's Rick Carr examines the early success of Apple's online store and what that might mean for music retailing. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.